Welcome to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School on this wonderful and beautiful Sabbath, and welcome to those that are on the phone and to those that are listening to the recording. And before we begin our Sabbath School lesson, I ask you to please bow your heads and kneel for opening prayer. Precious Father in heaven, we give you full and complete control of this room and all the services that are taking place. We pray that thy presence will be here in our midst, that the atmosphere of heaven will be all around, and there will be no place left for the devil to come in to cause us to misunderstand or to snatch away the seeds of truth. And thank you so much for being here. We also ask that the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit will be abiding guest with each one and ruling in each heart. And please, Savior, shower us with the light from above. And Spirit, open our understanding and plant it deep within each heart so that it may become part of our lives and we can truly grow more and more fully into the stature of a man, woman, or child of God. And thank you so much for doing so. Please be with us now, and thank you for being here and for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. We're still in our study book, Desire of Ages, Chapter 1, which is entitled God with Us. And for those that would like to follow along that are listening, the link is found at lightministries.com/ID621.htm. And I went ahead and put it here in the room. We're at the top of page 25. And the paragraph starts out, in stooping to take upon himself humanity. So Desire of Ages, Chapter 1, and the top of page 25, or near the top. In stooping to take upon himself humanity, Christ revealed a character, the opposite of the character of Satan. So, just in the fact that Christ was willing to be born human reveals a completely different character than what Lucifer was revealing. Lucifer chose to exalt himself higher than what he was, but Christ chose to degrade himself lower than where he was. So just the opposite of the devil's actions and character. Continuing. But he, or Christ, stepped still lower in the path of humiliation. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Which is Philippians 2 verse 8. So Christ didn't just become human and then that was the end of his lowering. But he continued to lower himself, even to the point of being willing to die on the cross. And how many people accepted him as the Savior when he was on the cross and didn't forsake him? Not very many. All the disciples fled, and then two of them felt guilty for and ashamed for what they were doing, and then they came to where he was on trial. And one of them that came to where he was on trial denied him three times. That was Peter. So then who did Christ die for? He died for sinners. He died for those that were rejecting him. He died for those that had not accepted him or were willing to publicly confess him as the Savior of mankind, the Son of the everlasting God. That's what our Savior was willing to do for you and me, to die for us, to shed His blood, to manifest His love for us even before we chose to voluntarily love Him. Continuing. As the high priest laid aside his gorgeous pontifical robes and officiated in the white linen dress of the common priest, so Christ took the form of a servant and offered sacrifice, himself the priest, himself the victim. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, which is Isaiah 53, verse 5. Christ was treated as we deserve, that we might be treated as he deserves. He was condemned for our sins in which he had no share, that we might be justified by his righteousness in which we had no share. He suffered the death which was ours, that we might receive the life that was his. So why was the Savior willing to go down to the very depths of human woe? So that he could lift us up out of those depths of human woe. So that we might be healed from sin. So that we might be partaker of his righteousness. So that we might be able to live with him for eternity. The devil's motive was selfishness. Christ's motive was unselfishness. Who would you rather serve? I choose Christ. I can trust him. He's not going to betray me because he loves me. And the proof of his love is he died for me before I ever accepted him as my Savior. He didn't wait for me to come to him before he said, okay, my sacrifice is now good for you. He loved me before I ever loved him. That is someone I can trust. Because he's real and true. And he's trustworthy. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He's not two-faced. He's not a backstabber. He's the manifestation of pure, godly love. So Christ was willing to be treated as we should have been treated. And all so that we can be treated as he deserves to be treated. In other words, he is our perfect sacrifice, our perfect substitute. He stands in our place to receive the punishment that should be ours so that we can stand in his place and receive the glory that is his. He's taken our place so that we can take his place. That is infinite love. And it's for you, dear one. So Christ suffered the penalty of sin, which is death. That was ours. So that we might receive the eternal life, which was his. Continuing, with his stripes, we are healed. Dear ones, when you look at the cross and what Christ did for you and was willing to continue to do for you, your heart begins to melt. The more you recognize his love for you, the more your love for self pales in comparison. It begins to die away. And that was the only way to reach sin-hardened individuals, by manifesting love for them, self-sacrificing love. And Christ was willing to do it, no matter how down the scale of humiliation he had to go. He was willing to do it for each and every individual in the world, no matter where they might be on that scale of sin. Even to those down at the very bottom of the scale. Christ's love for them can still melt that hardened heart and bring about a change in their life, allowing them to be born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. No longer being a child of the devil, but now to be a child of the heavenly King. And praise our dear Savior for being willing to do that. Voluntarily doing that. Because of love. He saw that the only way to save you and me and the rest of mankind was to take this blood-stained path. And because of love, he was willing to do it. It's just marvelous to behold what manner of love the Father and Jesus have bestowed upon you and me. As unworthy as we are, in order to save us. And there's so much more to understand in the plan of our salvation. It is so much more full and rich and complete and satisfying and worthy of your time in exploring it and meditating upon it. And searching out the other avenues of truth that all combine in it. And the devil is doing everything he can to divert your attention from studying that plan. Because the less you study it, the less you understand the love of God for you. And the less your heart melts in love for him. But the more you study it, the more you understand the love of God for you, and thus the more you fall in love with him. So let us be wary of what the devil is trying to do, especially in these last days before the end comes. And when we see the devil starting to divert our attention into areas of no profit, let us recognize what he's doing. Let us dart a prayer to heaven for help to resist him, and then move forward in the grace and strength given you of God to resist and turn away from his snares and traps. Come closer to God and thus farther away from the devil. So Christ was willing to be treated as we deserve to be treated, so that we can then stand along with him in his place of righteousness. He was willing to take upon himself all our sins, in which he was innocent of, so that we might be made innocent by his righteousness that we had no share in. And he was willing to die on the cross to pay the penalty for our transgression, that we might be able to live the life that is his. So truly, by his stripes, we are healed. Continuing. By his life and his death, Christ has achieved even more than recovery from the ruin wrought through sin. It was Satan's purpose to bring about an eternal separation between God and man. So what is one of the devil's characteristics? He lost the battle in heaven and was kicked out. He and his angels can never return there. So then what did the devil want to do? He wanted to make an eternal separation between God and man so that mankind could never come back into the presence of God. So in other words, because the devil received this type of reward for his evil actions, he wanted everyone else to share it with him. And he didn't care what he had to do in order to achieve that goal. If he has to suffer, he's going to make every other individual suffer along with him. That's his characteristic. What is God's characteristic? Just the opposite. God was willing to come down to your level and bear your penalty so that you could be brought up to his level. Just the opposite of what the devil's trying to do. And dear ones, by their fruits ye shall know them. All you have to do is examine the fruits that are being produced by others, and you will be able to determine whether they're following the devil in character or following God in character. But especially, focus on yourself. Examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith or not. See if you're manifesting the attributes of Lucifer or the attributes of God. And that's one of the jobs and responsibilities of the Holy Spirit. To convict us of our sins. So plead with the Spirit to open your understanding as you do an examination of yourself to see exactly where you're deviating from the image of the Savior so that you will no longer be blind to what you're doing. But you can then give up the wrongs that you're committing. Pleading with God to forgive you for these wrongs. Pleading with him to forgive you for taking so long to recognize what you're doing wrong. And then pleading for grace and strength to change. Amen. There was a statement put in the room that says, how has the fruits of your life been in this past year? Have they been fruits that are growing more and more like Christ? Or remaining the same without advancement? Or going backwards to your past life? Or is it a combination of all of it? And what do you want your fruits to be in this next year? Dear ones, you have to go to Christ to be changed. You have to go through Christ to have your sins forgiven, because it's only through his blood being shed for you that your sins can be cleansed. And it's only through Christ that we're enabled to obtain the love of God planted within us, and thus have all of our motives changed to be more like the Father. So where do you stand, dear ones? How is your life compared to the faith that was once delivered to the saints and is still here? May God help us to see ourselves as we really are and reveal to us what sins we have registered against our names in the record books of heaven. Because there's still time to plead for these sins to be forgiven, for you to be completely cleansed and purified from them, and then be able to come up to live the life that measures with the life of God, the life of righteousness, holiness, purity. There's still time. So by his life and his death, Christ has achieved even more than the recovery from the ruin wrought through sin. And it was Satan's purpose to bring about an eternal separation between God and you, so that you would share Lucifer's fate, being eternally separated from God. Continuing, but in Christ, we become more closely united to God than if we had never fallen. In taking our nature, the Savior has bound himself to humanity by a tie that is never to be broken. Through the eternal ages, he is linked with us. So God saw what Lucifer was trying to do. He saw that Lucifer had successfully began this plan to bring everyone down to his level of destruction and to separate them all from God and Christ. And God also saw that the only way to stop Lucifer in his plan was for Jesus to unite his divinity with humanity and forever to be both God and human. It's just amazing, dear ones. It's just amazing. So our Savior, by becoming human, is ever throughout eternity going to remain human. Why? Because he loves you so much that he couldn't remain separate from you. But he had to be united with you. That's true love. Love that's not false. Love that's not put on. But true, filling love. It's just amazing.
It is an overwhelming thing to consider, all that dear Brother Rob has been sharing here. And what I do see, and really just floors me, is the extent to which our Lord has gone to win us. And it really shames me many, many times when I fail or become stubborn. And I say it in this way because of how it comes to me. His love is so deep and so great and so vast and so incomprehensible to our finite minds that even in our rebellion, instead of turning his back, he reaches out all the more to win us. And that just amazes me. Because I know in my life there are times when I just raged out of control in my wickedness and could care less if he loved me or not and did not even look to see if he was seeing what kind of sick pit I was in at the time. I did not care. But he cared. And he loved me so much that he did not give up on me, even though I gave up on me. And he reached down into that sick pit that I was in and pulled me out. And it was mercy, really. Because in truth, when I look at myself from back then, I was fighting against every ounce of love he wanted to pour on me. And I believe that's where mercy comes in. Because I believe that there are times when we can find ourselves so insane with our foolishness, we can't even see clear as to the self-destruction that we are in. And in his mercy, he comes in and he wipes our eyes and shakes us so that we can see. Do you see where you're headed? Do you really see? Don't you understand? I really love you. I really, really do. And I think it's at times like that. And I know for me, it was at a time like that. That I finally saw and truly understood that he really, really loves me. And was so willing to forgive me and to wash me clean and to bear with me even to this very exact moment of breathing, warts and all, so that he can make me into his image. So yes, dear brother Rob, it is an exceedingly, my lads, mind-blowing and breathtaking thing to consider the love of our dear Savior and how far he went to rescue us. What a rejoicing. What truly amazing grace.
Well, so Rob, like you said before about many few who believe Jesus and mostly others don't follow him, it reminds me of the example, like how when some people will look up at the stars first and somehow the next moment they lose the sight of it. That experience can remind how, how the Jews who were God's chosen people outside the teaching of the ritual service. Each promised to symbolize Jesus Christ and was full of life and spiritual beauty, but the Jews lost the spiritual life from their ceremonies and clung to the dead forms. The way was prepared by Satan for them to understand the Messiah coming and his work. Then when he did come, Israel did not recognize him. They believed that Jesus was just a deceiver, and they didn't think that he was the Messiah after all. Oh, they thought he was just the son of a local carpenter, but he really was. but their sight was so blinded by their rituals and how they understood their study so much, such that, you know, that they never think that him being in the form of a man could be either redeemer.
Amen, Brother Josh, and amen, Brother Joel. Again, dear ones, the plan of our redemption is marvelous to behold and will never exhaust studying into it, because there will always be new things to discover. But there's another point. We left off: through the eternal ages, he, or Christ, is linked with us. Continuing, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, which is John 3:16. Now, most of us have read that over and over and over again and have even memorized it. But look what is stated about this text. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Continuing. He gave him not only to bear our sins and to die as our sacrifice, he gave him to the fallen race to assure us of his immutable counsel of peace. God gave his only begotten Son to become one of the human family forever to retain his human nature. This is the pledge that God would fulfill his word. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government should be, or shall be, upon his shoulder. So when God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, he gave him to humanity to become part of humanity and forever to be human. And the very fact that Christ is both a God and a human being in one person is the pledge that God will fulfill his word and accept you and me in his beloved Son. But it goes even deeper than this. So unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Continuing, God has adopted human nature in the person of his Son. Do you understand what this is saying? Jesus Christ was God himself, not God the Father, but a God himself. And he was united with his Father through his Godhood. When Christ came down and became a human being, being both God and man, since he was united with his Father, it was God himself that was adopting human nature in the person of his Son. That's almost unfathomable to understand. The Almighty Father was adopting human nature in Jesus. That's amazing to think about. But that also shows us that all the pain, the suffering, the contradiction of sinners being spit upon and even crucified, God the Father felt and experienced it all. So it wasn't just Christ experiencing this. It was also the Father. Why? Because the Father has loved you and me from everlasting. And His love is full and rich and true. And He couldn't keep Himself away from being united with you and me, dear ones. The Scriptures tell us that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. That means God has adopted human nature in the person of His Son. So He is literally your Father. And you are literally His child through Christ. When you accept Christ as your Savior, Christ becomes your elder brother, and the Father becomes your Father, and you become His child, literally. You're part of the family of God, a child of the heavenly King. Literally, a family bond of union. Because Christ literally took humanity. He didn't make believe. It wasn't just to come down for 33 years, die on the cross, and then go back to being just a God without being human. So God the Father adopted human nature in the person of His Son because of His infinite love for you and me. There is so much in the plan of our redemption, dear ones. So much that we have yet to discover and to understand. And the more you understand, the more you fall in love with our gods and what they were willing to do and how much they were willing to sacrifice in order to save us.
I have to say, my very dear brother Rob, that is a very powerful piece of truth that I must be very honest. I never really saw it like that. And I'm having a little difficulty wrapping my very crusty and finite brain around. I'm going to have to chew on that one some more. Because I see us as being brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus through His merit and sacrifice and resurrection by the Holy Spirit. But that takes it a lot deeper. And I see that there are some very strong ramifications concerning that. That if it is truly understood and accepted, it really brings a liberty that, it would bring a liberty to anyone that could really grab it. in so many areas of their life and in their walk. I'm really, really going to be chewing on this.
Oh, praise the Lord, brother. And I fully understand. Each and every one of us need to examine the plan of salvation and this issue of the Father adopting human nature in His Son for ourselves. We need to take the time to study for ourselves and not just accept it because I said it or others have said it, but because you know it from your own study. Look up all the scriptures that you can find dealing with God's connection with Christ, God's connection with us. And plead for the Spirit to open your understanding so that you can behold just how much God's love for you is, and how much it was manifested, and how much sacrifice He was willing to give in order to save you. So God not only gave His Son to die and to be our sacrifice, but He gave Him to the human race forever. And this was to assure us that when the Father said it's possible for you to overcome sin, it's possible for you to have all of your records of sin forgiven, all of that slate washed clean and made white, all of that is true. And the proof of that is that Jesus is human. And He'll retain humanity for all eternity. And as the Father loves His Son, and His Son is human like us, so then the Father loves us. And God will indeed fulfill His word. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder. Christ is going to rule for eternity. And we, as His brothers and sisters, will rule along with Him for eternity. We're going to be priests and kings in the kingdom of God. Because the Father has accepted us as His children in Christ. So God has adopted human nature in the person of His Son. Not that the Father is human and God at the same time as Christ was, but through His Son, the Father knows and understands everything about human nature. Continuing, and has carried the same into the highest heaven. So where is humanity in relationship to the Father? Through Christ, it's in the very throne room. And dear ones, if we're faithful to the end, then we have the highest place in heaven, right along Christ and our Father. So God the Father is not only our spiritual Father as God, but through Christ, he's also our human father. So he's truly your father. Without Christ, this would never be possible. And that's why there's no one that can possibly be saved and be able to endure in the very presence of the glorious devouring fire that's surrounding the Father. Without Christ, there's no possible way we can be saved. There's no possible way. Christ is that connecting link between the Father and you and me. And that connecting link is because Christ is both God and human, literally, in the same person. There was a question put in the room. It says, you mean as restoring our relationship that began with Adam, since God was his father? You can look at it that way, brother, because Adam was the son of God. That's what the scriptures reveal. His creator, his father, was God. He was the Son of God, but he lost that position by committing sin. Jesus, by becoming human and resisting the devil all throughout his life, redeemed mankind and also redeemed this world back to God. Lucifer claimed it as his possession. Christ redeemed it back as his possession. That's why your salvation is found in no other person but Christ. So God has adopted human nature in the person of his Son and has carried the same into the highest heaven. Continuing, it is the Son of Man who shares the throne of the universe. It is the Son of Man whose name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9 verse 6. The I Am is the days man between God and humanity, laying his hand upon both. He who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, is not ashamed to call us brethren, family members. Hebrews 7:26 and Hebrews 2:11. In Christ, the family of earth and the family of heaven are bound together. So when Christ became human, then the Father was adopting humanity into his family of heaven. And when you accept Christ as your Savior, you are connecting yourself directly with the family of God. Through Christ, you become his child. So in Christ, the family of earth and the family of heaven are bound together. Continuing, Christ glorified as our brother. That's family relationship. That's not just a word. It means he's part of your family. So Christ is glorified as our brother. Continuing, heaven is enshrined in humanity. Because when God gave Christ to the human race, he gave all of heaven to us in Christ. So heaven is enshrined in humanity. And humanity is enfolded in the bosom of infinite love. What does enfolded mean? The picture that I get is someone running to their father and the father grabbing them in midair and holding them tight in a big bear hug. So heaven is enshrined in humanity, and humanity, you and me, are enfolded in a big bear hug in the bosom of our Father because of his infinite love. Dear ones, don't you just love him? Doesn't your heart begin to melt when you understand what the plan of salvation entails? We are children, literal family members of the infinite God. And we are directly related to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is for eternity. That's how much the Godhead loves you, and how much they were willing to sacrifice in order to make it possible that they could be with us and we could be with them forever. May God the Father be praised forever and ever. May Jesus Christ be exalted and glorified forever and ever. And may the Holy Spirit, who makes all of this possible for us to understand and then to live as truth, be praised forever and ever. It takes all three gods united together as one to bring us salvation. And may they be praised and exalted for eternity. Whether I'm saved or lost, it doesn't matter. Their love has been expended upon each and every one of us. And they deserve to be praised and glorified for everlasting.
Dear brother, I was wondering if it's possible to share a song that has been constantly going through my mind since this has been unfolding, and I know that it's our time is kind of past that time, but if it's all right. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Ruined sinners to reclaim,
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven, exalted high, hallelujah, what a Savior. When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransomed home to bring. Then anew this song we'll sing. Hallelujah, 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 what a Savior.
Amen, dear brother. Amen. And thank you so much for singing that. It was very appropriate, especially since what we've been discussing. Hallelujah! What a Savior is ours. I ask you to please bow your heads and kneel for closing prayer to our adult and youth Sabbath school time. Our dear precious Father, our loving Heavenly God, thank you so much for opening our understanding to behold a little bit more of the plan of our salvation. Dear Savior, thank you so very much for your infinite love for each one of us by being willing to come down and become human. And thank you so much for retaining your innocency all throughout your human life, even though you were dogged and attacked and relentlessly abused by the evil one and his agents. And thank you so much for giving us the perfect example to follow and being willing to have us flee to you in any time of need. And thank you, dear Holy Spirit, for making all of this possible for us to understand in a greater and more perfect way. Please plant the truth in our hearts so deeply, so rooted in us that nothing can take it away from us, but that we can retain it, that it can grow and take over our lives, being so firmly rooted and grounded in us that it becomes us. So that we might be just like the Savior living in us, walking through us, speaking words from us, living his life in us. Help us to truly become children of the heavenly King. And thank you so much, dear Father, for making this all possible. Please be with us now and continue to open our understanding to behold more wondrous things out of the marvelous word of truth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So, dear ones, let us meet back here in 5 minutes. That will be 11:19. And we have communion service scheduled for today as our main service. So just 5 minutes and we'll be back.